Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. Our text for this morning is in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter, beginning with the first verse. So Jesus got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. And we pray. These are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. If I said $100 to you, if you can find the typo in the text for today, how carefully are you going to read that? If I said the forgiveness of sins is in that text, how carefully are you going to read it? I think when we consider ourselves, we know it'd be a lot easier to get excited for, whoa, I maybe can get $100 if I find the typo in this. And yet, there are many times where we hear a text, we hear about the forgiveness of sins, and aren't exactly quite as excited for it. Our lesson for today shows us how Jesus prioritizes the forgiveness of sins as the first thing he says to the paralytic guy that comes to him. He doesn't heal him right away. He says, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." And so Jesus shows us how important the forgiveness of sins is. How important it really is for us. Yeah, we hear it a lot. We hear it all the time in sermons, in texts, in church services. And yet today we see, not to become dull to that, but in fact, the forgiveness of sins truly is everything for us. Sometimes the tricky part about this text is because it's so quick. We see the ending, but we don't really think for a moment, how would you react if you're the paralytic guy, you're brought to Jesus, it says they had faith, so you think, maybe he'll heal me, but the first thing Jesus says is, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." Jesus doesn't heal him instantly. He does heal him eventually, but not right then and there. How would you react in that one moment? I think it would be easy for us to get upset that we don't get what we want right away. I think we wouldn't handle it well, even if a friend simply told you on a bad day, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." We want more than that often. Often we think, I need this or that thing fixed in my life. So it's hard for us to take to heart, yeah, forgiveness of sins is that important. And it shows fruits in our lives as well, in how at times we can treat the forgiveness of sins as boring, as something that's cliche, as something that's not really all that important to my day-to-day life. Sometimes we think there are bigger problems in my life that God should just be taking care of. And why isn't he taking care of it? And the forgiveness of sins is something that matters for something long in the future, maybe when I'm on my deathbed, but certainly not right here and now. And sometimes we get upset at God then. How come you're not giving me happiness? How come you're not fixing this or that problem? Or where's the solution for my bad day, my challenges, my struggles? We can get upset at God and his word and his church for not addressing the things that we sometimes treat like the real things we want fixed. And even think about what we talk about and speak of as important. We're probably more likely to talk about how we think our favorite sports team is so great, or how great our political views are, or how great this new video game or character emote is, rather than to say how great the forgiveness of sins is. So even in our conversations, we sometimes betray ourselves that we don't prize the forgiveness of sins all that much. But Jesus makes it very clear in the lesson. The forgiveness comes first. He heals the guy later. He forgives him right away. Forgiveness is number one. And for good reason. The forgiveness of sins is really everything for our lives now and even eternally. The forgiveness of sins isn't just a buzzword we like to use in church. It's how I have a right relationship with God. With our sins, we've trashed the earth. We've made this world miserable with sin and unhappiness. God doesn't want us up in his heaven trashing the place with our sins. We deserve wrath and punishment. The forgiveness of sins is the only way we can have a right status with God. It's the taking away of what we've done wrong so we can be right with him now and eternally. And Jesus had to accomplish all of this for us so that we could have a heavenly home. Jesus had to have a perfect life, a clean slate, so that he could give that to us. That's why he had to die on the cross so our sins and our wrongs could be put on him instead of dragging us down to hell. And he rose again to show, yeah, he has big problems in mind for solving them for us, that he's going to take away death. He's overcoming the devil and hell itself as he rose again and assures us of our own resurrection and eternal life in heaven. And what's more, he gives us the faith to receive all these things as he comes to us in the word and baptism. The forgiveness of sins is number one for Jesus. It's very important. That's his work. That's what he wants to give to us too. He shows his power to forgive sins when he heals the man in our text. People get upset that he says, that he's forgiven the guy's sins. And Jesus asks, well, what's easy to do, forgive sins or heal? And it turns out he just does them both. He not only forgives the guy, he heals him as well. And he doesn't even finish his sentence. I mean, don't miss out on the style he does this in. He starts saying a sentence to his opponents. He says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He doesn't even finish that sentence. He actually just goes talking to the paralytic to heal him. And so, I mean, that's about as close as you get in the first century to like a mic drop situation, is not finishing your sentence to those guys. And so he not only shows his power to forgive and to heal, he does it in style here. And I know it can be hard for us at times not to appreciate the forgiveness of sins because many of its blessings and many spiritual things can seem distant in the realm of eternal life or heaven. And yet, the forgiveness of sins is everything to us, not only for the future, but also right here and right now. I don't think this will be a newsflash to you, but we live in a pretty unhappy world, right? That if you look at any basic news stories anywhere, there's a lot of negativity, there are a lot of problems, a lot of challenges in this world. It may be very overwhelming and depressing. And even people that you'd think have it all and have such great wealth often show their unhappiness by trying to simulate happiness in drugs or cope with unhappiness with that, or even sadly suicide and its prevalence among people that you'd think should have it all. The news preaches that the pursuits of happiness that the world offers us, they just don't work. They just don't work. And the world has millions of happinesses to try to offer. None of them cut it. In the midst of the challenges and the fray of life, though, Jesus has for us a happiness that needs no pursuit. He says, take heart, your sins are forgiven you. He says that to us too. Yeah, we have challenges and problems in this life too, and he maybe won't fix it in a whoosh like he does with this paralytic man, but he does give us everything we need when he says, take heart, your sins are forgiven. He will take care of you now. He'll help you. He'll get you through a day. He'll get you through a week. He'll get you through your whole life until eternal life in heaven. He will help you face challenges. He'll comfort you in his word. He is there for you. And He's given us enough for contentment and peace right now. If we open our eyes, we see he gives that happiness and peace everywhere in his word, in the liturgy, in the hymns, in the message of a sermon. So take heart, your sins are forgiven. In all of those challenges, he's speaking to you. Take heart, your sins are forgiven, right in that word of promise. So don't wait to be happy. Don't settle for substitutes. Jesus is right there. He says, take heart, your sins are forgiven. And so we've seen here in this lesson how forgiveness of sins truly is everything. Jesus prioritizes that. He heals eventually, but forgiveness of sins is most important. And I know that we probably would get excited if we could get $100 for finding a typo. And that's why I said, what if? I didn't actually say I'd give it to you. But I think in our heart of hearts, we know there are still many more valuable things, like the air we breathe each and every day, even if it's not as appreciated always. And so too with the forgiveness of sins. It might not always have that excitement or oomph to it, but it is the air we breathe as Christians. It is everything for us now and eternally. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the forgiveness of sins accomplished by your life and death on the cross. By your Holy Spirit, make this forgiveness ours through faith. Open our eyes to the peace, contentment, and happiness you already have right in front of us. Amen.